everyone. Welcome to the UFO Congress Show on the Jerry Pippin Show, UFO Files. We are at the Laughlin, Nevada on the beautiful Colorado River. And, of course, we're at the Aquarius Casino Resort. And the Congress has been very successful. One of the things that's very interesting is that you find people who don't really get a, you know, you don't get a chance to meet them normally, but at these conferences, they seem to want to come out, and they agree to interviews when normally they're pretty hard to get to do an interview with. And we have a fellow right now by the name of Gordon Novell, who is infamous, I guess. Gordon, how are you?
Oh, I wouldn't say infamous. I'd say
semi-famous. Okay, semi-famous then. Anyway, Gordon, we're going to deal with a lot of things on the show, if it's okay with you.
Okay.
But first of all, the first thing that I noticed when I became aware that you were interested in UFOs and extraterrestrial territory was the fact that you've actually had a lot of experience trying to develop these alien reproduction vehicles.
Oh, we got somewhat
lucky. I mean, you got a whole company there going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a real effort. It's something that we're very intent on doing. If we don't do it, we don't feel there isn't going to be much of a planet left.
And in fact, that's going to bring us up to some of the things. You have lots of contacts in Washington. Would I refer to you as a private investigator or an entrepreneur, businessman? What would you be?
I'm sort of an industrialist.
Okay, an industrialist.
Yeah,
Gordon Novell, industrialist. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your experience with these alien reproduction vehicles? So you've really got this down. You've done a lot of research with some scientists and groups, and you have people working in your company on this. And there seems to be a guy over in France that says that he's got the technology that you're hooked in with.
That would be Eric Julien, yes.
Yeah.
He's got some really adroit theories on time as not being what we think it is. Sort of like a rubber band, you can make it do whatever you want and go backwards and forwards in it and use it to make giant leaps across the universe and stuff like that. He's really the cat's meow for the issue of time, which is probably the core of most of the...
Now you and I have talked about this before on the phone, and you think this time travel element is key.
It's elementary, because you can't negate gravity without negating time. When you're able to negate time, then you can actually manipulate it so that you can go forward or backwards in it.
At one time when I was talking to you, you were looking around maybe for some government employees that have been involved in this sort of thing for the government, back engineering, and maybe they wanted to go into a private enterprise with you. Any luck on that?
We're always open. The door's wide open. We're definitely going to pay better.
And how could they get a hold of you? I guess through our website. We'll get in contact.
You
got a Yahoo address.
Yeah, it's GordonNovell@Yahoo.com.
So people can remember that.
G.Novell@Yahoo.com.
Now, I started talking about these things first. I want to get to you're Hollywood bound, and we'll talk about that a little later.
Yeah.
But one of the things a lot of people don't understand, or maybe haven't read about your background, is you've been interested in the theater all along, too. You were at the Pasadena Playhouse, right?
As a kid, yeah.
I always wanted to make it there, never did. So
yeah.
If I remember correctly, you had to audition or something to get in.
Oh, yeah. You had to do a little number.
What were you in?
I wasn't interested in acting as much as I was interested in producing and directing.
But you did something with Michael Todd. Remember him? Around the 80 days?
I worked for him when he was building his balloons and built some of those original display balloons that were used for the film.
At the meeting. This is really, and I guess a lot of people say, well, Pippin, you need to settle down. You need to get into one area. But I don't even, you know, I can't hold a candle to you, Gordon. You've done everything from Waco investigations to you name it.
Watergate, JFK, you name it. Worked on them all.
Now, in that, a lot of people know you from the Kennedy movie. They got that wrong about you, didn't they?
The movie was right. It portrayed me as the Mr. X character who was advising Garrison inaccurately, which is what I was doing.
So that was a disinformation deal? Or can you talk about it?
Yeah, I was kind of working at the White House at the same time I was working for Garrison, and he figured I was working for CIA, which was wrong, and decided to make me a CIA agent, which I've never been able to shed. And it's not that I want to shed it, it's just that...
It's a good image. You get a good seat at a restaurant that way.
Yeah.
If you don't give him a good seat, he'll kill you.
That's right.
You've never killed
him. No, I avoid that assiduously. Not a good idea.
Yeah.
Bad karma. Lots of bad karma.
Well, you really think that we're onto something with the alien technology, with the alien reproduction vehicle? I mean, how much progress has really been made in this area, you think? I'd love to go out to Area 51
They've been flying them since 1965. They spent a Manhattan Project worth of money on it from 1947 to 65, and they had them flying in 65, and they put them away because they discovered that they could get energy for nothing, and that would interfere with their leaders who control the money that controls the energy, and they want to keep control of everything. So they want to keep selling that oil and polluting that atmosphere.
And now I understand that you've been talking to some of your sources in Washington, and you're very connected to some people in the CIA. If you didn't work for them, you know them pretty well.
Yeah, we have a mutual admiration society.
Okay. They are preparing for some sort of natural disaster, you think, or what? Or are they going to create it?
We're going to go from global warming, and in 3 or 4 years we're going to have a thing called a tipping point, and then we're going to head into global burning, and that could accelerate exponentially. And from global burning, you get a melting of the ice caps, and the methane comes loose out from under the Russian tundra and under the ice caps, and that's enough to cause the atmosphere to get saturated, which is very poisonous, and at the same time, highly flammable. So there's a point.
So that this methane and other gases will come up, and not only will it kill you if you breathe, but somebody's going to light a match.
Somebody's going to light a match when the atmosphere gets sufficiently saturated with the methane, and the whole atmosphere will go flash, and everything on Earth gets burned up, and the Bible was right. We end up in flames.
So now, when we talk about things like this happening, is there any way anybody in Washington really trying to prevent it officially now?
Yeah. There's a move on within the intelligence community to take the technology back from Majestic 12 and get it back over at CIA under their foreign diplomatic control, deploy it commercially, and let the hide go with the hair in terms of the revolution, because if you don't have to pay for energy, you get to keep 80 cents out of every dollar you spend. And then the distribution pipelines get straightened out because of the ability to pick the grain up in the field and take it directly to where it's going to be finally processed in one move. And the distribution cost goes away. You lose about 95% of the cost of doing business, and the people get to keep that. So the wealth accumulates exponentially, and everybody gets rich.
So
everybody gets rich.
So we're talking, if you get this free energy project going, it'll definitely be a shock to the economy as it is now.
It'll be a shock to everything, because the problem that we're worried about that comes with it is the paradoxes from knowing what the future is. If you know the future, how do you have markets? How do you have banking? And how do you have risk? It's a risk-averse society, so we're working on studies right now to get all that squared away so that we can introduce the technology.
So in other words, time travel is an important element in this.
Yeah.
And if you unlock the key and you feel that you guys either have or are very close to it.
Yeah, well, we pretty much pirated the technology, and we went and then took care of the intellectual property aspect of it. So we stole it, and we're not giving it back. That's a good way to put it.
Well, and, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law.
Yeah, and what we would like to do, and this is for the boys at Area 51, is we just kind of like to make a trade, and we'll trade you our intellectual property grab on your technology, and let's go and develop it, fellas, so that you don't end up burying your children, your grandchildren, in the same grave with yourselves in another maybe 6-7 years.
So, in other words, we're talking maybe making a deal. You made deals all your life.
Yeah. We're really pitching the powers that be right now to make a deal to get the technology into a very rapid state of development and turn cars into Back to the Future and basically eliminate the going to the gas station to get gas because you don't need it. Little motors turn big generators and gravitationally nullified fields of space. So,
it's mind-boggling to all of us that think about, well, I can go 200 miles on a tank. You're talking about just going wherever you
perpetually. And you buy your vehicle.
You're talking about no electric bill.
No electric bill. The energy, as we understand it, time contains the energy.
And we mentioned Area 51 out of the blue. Let's hone in on that a minute. What is this where they're developing all this? Or?
Yeah, they've been developing it out there since they built it with the dope money that they took out of Vietnam
and
Afghanistan, Colombia.
Hey, you've gotten in places where you can't go before. You got any way for us to get into Area 51?
We just think that somebody needs to chat with us before we. We go to the sphincters with it because we have a plan to bring it out, take it public. We're finishing the studies, which are really important to be able to get the geopolitics of it squared away so that CIA can, deploy it.
Now, I know for a fact that you have certain people at the CIA that do have their arms around you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have. Like I said, we're very affectionate.
and so... there is an element of protection here, so you're not going way out when you come out and say these things.
No. What we did is when all of this was put into a book that we decided not to publish about 3-4 years ago, and then we put the book on CD-ROMs and sent them around the world and made a list of all the intelligence agencies, directorates of science and technology, and all the energy companies, research departments, all the science magazines, and we just basically are greenmailing them to, if they attack us, then it goes on the web and everything's chaos, big time.
So in other words, and you've had experience of doing things like this with people before.
Oh, yeah.
I think Lyndon Johnson said you grab them by whatever, you have their hearts and minds.
That was Chuck Colson. I used to work for Colson.
Oh, or Chuck said that.
Yeah, he's the one. Walk over his grandmother. Get President Nixon elected.
Yeah. Now, you've worked with almost all types and all kinds of people there.
Yeah.
Over the years, when you did, they came a long way from the Pasadena Playhouse to working for Garrison and working out at the White House
adventure.
At the same time. How'd that happen?
Well, I was working at the White House doing an electronic countermeasures project called Checkmate, and when Garrison started to come out of the closet with his little fairy tale, they said, Gordon, don't you know him? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, can you get a job and kind of get us some inside information? Me, I thought I was James Bond and I was really a jackass and was wet behind the ears and didn't realize I was about to step on landmines. And but I did it anyway, and I got him and pretty much destroyed him, and I'm pretty proud of that because he was full of bull. He was really grand fraud.
You've been asked many times about JFK. You were involved with Waco, too.
Yeah, I worked...
That was a civil suit, right?
Yeah, I worked for Ramsey Clark, and we prepared a civil suit. We took to the Supreme Court.
Now, he's a former attorney general, of course.
Yeah, I worked for him for a decade.
And when you talk about Ramsey Clark, a lot of people, he had a high profile, still does. He's still practicing, right?
Yeah, his last case he lost. Saddam got hung. he represented Saddam Hussein, and they lost.
Yeah, I remember that. We're going to be right back with Gordon Novell. We kind of bounced around this first 15 minutes because we need to give you a flavor of what we're going to be talking about here. I got to get into this deal on Area 51, what we want to do when we come back. Okay, okay. Gordon? This is Jerry Pippin. Don't go away. It happened almost 60 years ago, but the debate still rages. Did an alien spacecraft crash outside Roswell, New Mexico in 1947? The most concise and complete series ever broadcast on Roswell, direct from Roswell. New programs added weekly. Check it out on the UFO Files on JerryPippin.com. Gordon Novell, no stranger to controversy. You really didn't go out looking for controversy all the time, even though you got an interesting kind of a character trait that I have. Sometimes it's fun to get in somebody's face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some of them deserve it, you know. They really do, and the bigger the better.
So, how are we going to get into Area 51? How are we going to see these people? See what's happening?
I think that they know we want to white-world their technology. Our argument's real simple. The world's going to end unless they let us do it. And what we're trying to do is save time so we don't have to go through the cut-and-bend experimental development process. And we have their technology. They know we have their technology. And they've expressed themselves rather angrily in 2005, but they didn't succeed in convincing me.
Tell me a little bit about that. What happened?
Oh, it got terrible. They were planting dope on me and causing me to go to jail and stuff like that. But they couldn't indict me, and they couldn't even get me to arraignment because their cases. I'm a pretty fair detective, and I'd make their cases fall apart by threatening the DAs with big lawsuits.
And where did this happen? In Vegas?
It happened in Vegas. It happened in New Orleans. It happened in Phoenix. They hit me with a SWAT team in Phoenix and had me sticking machine guns in my face one night in Phoenix. So we're saying that I was on America's Most Wanted. And I told them, I said, no, I'm not on America's Most Wanted, but you're going to be in federal court tomorrow morning if you don't pull that machine gun down real quick.
And they did this right in a public place.
Oh, yeah, they did it in a public place. So I got rather angry. I called Ramsey on the phone and handed him the phone, told him, I said, I'm his chief investigator, and you better cease and desist because we will sue you all the way to the Supreme Court for the whole value of the city.
Who were these characters that were doing
this?
They
were a SWAT team. There was
from the police department itself?
Five-man SWAT team. Five machine guns right in my face.
and who do you think sicked them on you?
Well, there are two options. A friend of the actress Linda Gray by the name of Sandra Rose Michael did it, or it was the boys from Majestic. And at this point, it's kind of a toss-up. I don't know who. Linda was a little unhappy with me. And
were you having an affair with Linda?
No, we were having an affair.
I was going to, okay, I was going to congratulate you. I didn't know, but I guess she turned out not to be as friendly as she is on television.
No, they faked some love letters that were not what she wanted to hear, and so she bought off on their fake love letters, and we didn't know that they could just intercept your stuff on the computer and rewrite it and forward it on. They do that these days. They're really crafty. We are run by a government of gangsters.
They can actually take an email and change it?
Instantly.
It doesn't take any time.
No, they do it quick. Believe me, they're really quick at rewriting emails.
Is there any way we can tell if they're doing it to you? The time?
Not unless you can get the email that you sent out to somebody.
Compare it.
Compare it to the...
Well, that explains my poor relationship with a lot of people.
They're really good at destabilizing you if they want to destabilize you. They can cause you a ton of grief. They can blackbag your apartment and steal your 125 videotapes. I want back, gentlemen. And if I don't get them back, you're going to pay for them. Believe me, one way or another, you're going to give me those tapes back.
What kind of videotapes are there?
I had the best collection of UFO videos probably around.
And where'd they take those away from your apartment?
Yeah, I had an apartment in Vegas, and they kindly went in there without permission and Blu-rayed them.
You've been around the country, but two of the cities that you've operated out of, Las Vegas and New Orleans, They have a huge underbelly of activity from several standpoints.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Vegas particularly. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's the slogan was true.
Yeah, I had an incident where a guy knocked on my door at 10 o'clock one morning. I was getting ready to go to the dentist. I opened the door, and he pulled a Glock 45 and stuck it in my face.
It's a 9mm.
Yeah,
right?
A big one. No, this is a big...
Oh, the big one,
the
okay.
big one. He told me, he started hollering at me, and I knew he was nuts or just there for intimidation purposes, so I slammed the door, and I picked up the phone, and I called the cops and the front desk. He knocks the door down, the cops come, he hides the gun. I kind of disturbed him with the idea of stabbing him a half a dozen times with a paring knife, and so he
In other words, the knife had just happened to be there.
It was on the counter he had me backed up against.
And I guess... Really, I haven't researched this, but you probably have. If you got shot and you were close enough of a knife,
you can stab him a few times before you die.
You could do some damage.
Oh, you can definitely do some damage before you die.
Yeah, okay.
That was why the 45 got invented in the first place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. The Maori Indians in the Philippines.
Now, did you in all of your investigating time, did you ever carry a weapon?
No, I don't like them. I think they're dangerous. They get you in trouble.
Yeah, if you got one, you might want to use it.
I have a little pocket-blinding laser that'll cause your eyeballs to fall out your head and stop your heart, and it's quite legal to have, and it's very painful.
Well, I'm going to remember not to upset you.
Yeah, it's known to stop. It's faster than a bullet, I can assure you.
Now, when we talk about these things like that... Why do you think there's all this violence and investigations and things? I mean, everybody knows about James Bond and all those things, but I guess really the secret here is two-pronged, control and greed, from people that want it. If you got some knowledge, they want it or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
people just naturally nasty?
They're just naturally. They don't have anything better to do than they intimidate people just for entertainment. They like to intimidate people, and I don't intimidate, so that caused a lot of friction, lots of friction.
Now, you're talking about people that work for decent operations normally, right? And they're nothing but two-bit hoods.
Yeah, that's just what I call it. It's government by gangster these days. It's been government by gangster since they murdered Kennedy. And we're heading into a state of what I call the Fourth Reich. We really are heading in. We are a fascist nation now, and we're a quasi-military police state. I got searched for a gun the other day getting on a bus, on a Greyhound bus to come out here. So they shook me down for a gun and shook my luggage down. And what was I going to do, to steal the bus and say, take me to Cuba?
You know, one of those, that's a strange thing. Those bus stations and... they go through these little towns. If you were going to get on and cause mayhem, you'd do it in a little town, not in a major bus stop.
Yeah, well, like I said, what am I going to do, steal a bus and get the driver to take me to Cuba? You know,
right,
I mean,
what
am I going to do with a bus?
Right,
you know,
right.
Get real.
So you're getting hassled still.
Well, I think they hassle everybody. I mean, from what I could see, they were searching everybody at the bus station for weapons and asking them to open their bags and, you know, like you're going to blow up the bus or something. I mean, it's ludicrous. We are heading into a military police state, and even the local cops have got to have their Gestapo fascist tactics, and I don't want to call them the real names I'd like to spew out to them, but they're just fascist, illegitimate sons of Basil or Basil.
Right. No. Do you think this has been... It seems like we've been progressing that way all along. Is some sort of plan?
They want to put us under a military police state condition. I really believe that. That's why I believe they did 9/11. I'm a fan of the big conspiracy at 9/11 too. I saw them do it at Waco, so I know.
Yeah, well, we're as you know, doing a 9/11 series, and you're a good friend with Jim Mars.
Oh yeah.
In fact, you and Jim are working on a project together now.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah, we're doing a movie called Kingdoms Come. It's about.
Can we talk a little bit about that movie?
Yeah, yeah. It looks like we're going to get the money for it.
You have an appointment coming up.
Yeah.
And this, what is it like, blow you to kingdom come? Is that what you
mean? No, kingdoms come is, it's plural, kingdoms,
okay.
Meaning a bunch of civilizations come around here because we develop a weapon system that's undefendable to launch nukes on the planets before we start rape, looting, and pillaging the planets around the galaxy. There's a lot of life out there, a lot of nice places to go play Cortez with.
You feel that this is, even though this is fiction, it's pretty much true, what you're saying?
Yeah, I think E.T. has got a real serious interest in seeing us develop into something better and reach a higher spiritual level, one thing and another. And they have been around here. They probably created us, so, or developed us in one way, shape, form, or another. So we're sort of a laboratory, and I'm sure they have thousands, if not millions, of laboratories like us. There's civilizations all over the galaxy and the galaxies. So it's a big universe out there. There's a lot of places. There's more land probably than there's people to put on them.
Now you, have you ever had an ET sighting or a contact?
Oh, I've seen a lot of ETs. I've seen four or five of them.
The where around?
I saw one when I was climbing up on the pyramid at Teotihuacan one afternoon, and saw one drop down over the. You could see the bird sitting up on top of a big vortex funnel, and it was there. So I've seen them on three or four occasions.
So, and you've been dealing since 1988 when you formed this company, got around to these people, about their technology, which I guess that we've been stealing since, or trying to steal.
Well, we stole it from the aliens, who stole it from the aliens, who stole it from the aliens, or else they give it away and commit a little suicide to give it to us. They benevolent suicide. They make you think that they crashed, and you then back engineer it and discover that you can't use it. It's useless. The tits on a bore, and so you know you can't use it for a nuclear delivery system because they'll get a little angry about it. They don't want weapons in space, and there are a lot of them out there. Believe me.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. There's bunches of them.
So this. How do you know that?
Because NORAD gets about 130, 140 starship recognition radar intercepts a year or a month. There are plenty of them up there. David Sarita and Dan Aykroyd put on a show recently that called Dan Aykroyd something or other, and they were able to get the pictures from NASA of these big starships, and they're big, and there are a lot of them out there. So they apparently are in the atmosphere doing whatever they're doing, trying to keep us from nuking ourselves and burning the place up, because burning the place up is where we're going if we don't fix it.
It seems to me that this administration and these people running everything now, they seem to think they can take the ET on. I mean, I've heard several speeches about, you know, we can defend ourselves from outer space.
Well, they got beam weapons and one thing and another, but I mean, if E.T. wanted us, he could eat us for breakfast real quick. So if there were aggressive E.T.s, we'd have been speaking somebody's Klingon a long time ago. So they could have taken us at any time they wanted. We haven't got anything they can't get somewhere else, you know, for free. They don't have to fight for it. They just land and take whatever they want. There's plenty of places to get whatever they need in the way of metals.
So, where, Gordon, where do you think we're going here, besides to hell in the handbasket on the environment? That's pretty obvious. Is there ever going to be disclosure where somebody really officially announces? I mean, why doesn't one of these ETs make themselves known? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's non-interference, at least not interference in the sense that making forced contact. But the problem is that our economy would collapse if they landed, because then somebody would say, well, how'd you get here? Because you can't jump those light years without using up all the energy in the universe. And their answer is the universe contains enough energy to do anything you want. It's nothing but energy. So the problem is they can't come here because it would collapse our economy.
So
free energy is a real bane.
You're aggressively got a group of people together you're involved with, and you're pursuing this free energy and the recreation. The whole thing that I think about is not only recreation, but it's going to change the way businesses are done. Trucking, etc. I mean, you can actually, I guess, move stuff from one point to point B.
You could have a barge fly over a grain field, suck up all the grain, and then have that barge fly directly to a processing plant that makes bread in, say, France, and you'd have a straight pipeline with none of the stops along the way that they have to go from the grain field to the grain elevator to the train to the grain elevator to the ship to the grain elevator to the train to the truck to get the stuff to where they want, and all that costs money. So all that movement is eliminated, and all that energy in that movement is eliminated, so the cost of doing business is 80% is energy and 15% is transportation. So we would theoretically reduce our cost of doing business by 95%, which means that money stays in your pocket. And you get you earn the same amount of money as you earned before or better, but you get to keep your money instead of spending it on wasting things, because everything you buy is full of energy. I mean, this bottle of Aquafina here cost the truck to get it here and a whole bunch of energy to bottle it and one thing and another. So if you can eliminate those energy costs, you've eliminated your overhead.
And you feel we probably have the technology to do that now?
We've had it since 1965.
I'm Jerry Pippin. We're broadcasting from the UFO Congress, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers, UFO and Alien Disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers, now available on DVD for only $19.95.